Thumbs up. Olivia, we are on. Let's open our Bibles this afternoon, please, to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. John says in Revelation 6 and verse 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." In warning his disciples of the signs that would one future day precede his glorious return, the Lord Jesus said in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So Jesus warned that there are wars and rumors of wars. And the fact is, of course, that wars and rumors of wars have continued in every age from then until now. This nation of America was birthed in warfare and has been fueled by constant and continuous warfare ever since, first fighting for the British crown and three separate declared wars against France before the American Revolution, another war with the native Cherokee nation, both before and alongside during its eight-year-long war for independence from King George from 1775 to 1783, after which its constant warfare continued with its army fighting various Indian wars on the continent and its navy and its marines fighting various wars overseas against France, against the Barbary Coast nations of North Africa, against Mexico, against Spain, and even against itself in its most bloody and costly war between the states from 1861 to 65, after which came the Spanish-American War in 1898, World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, Iraq, former Yugoslavia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, and at present a very dangerous proxy war against Russia. The history of America is for the most part a history of constant warfare. But long before America was conceived, just as Jesus said, wars and rumors of wars have actually continued in every age from then until now. But as we've covered before, the opening of this second seal here in Revelation chapter 6 describes the loosing of a time of unprecedented global warfare when peace is taken from the entire planet, which warfare we see in the entire context of John's prophecy throughout the whole book will then usher in, or it will initiate, a final period of great tribulation that will immediately precede our Lord's return. I don't want to jump to any false conclusions or sound any false alarms today. And while some of you may not have been watching the news reports yesterday, personally, I do think it may be possible that this second seal may have finally been loosed yesterday, October 7th, 2023, 10-7-23, exactly 50 years and one day after the Yom Kippur War of 1973 began. As yesterday, the militant Palestinian organization of Hamas launched what was apparently a very well-planned surprise attack against Israel settlements and defense forces in the Gaza region. It's the worst attack since 1973, actually in 50 years, in what Hamas says will be a new all-out war against Israel, which war has potential, very serious potential, of expanding and affecting every nation and person on the planet. Back to text here, this second seal is, of course, one of seven wax seals in the symbology here that John tells us in chapter 5 were used to close and keep secret that little book or the scroll that was handed to the Lord Jesus. Chapter 5 and verse 1, John says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. John says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. To review a little bit from a message we covered this about a couple of years ago in our series of studies through the book of Revelation, John sees this sealed book, which is in that day meant a scroll that was rolled up. Actually, this one bore so much information it had to be written on both sides. Then rolled up, and it was sealed with what was common in those days, which was wax seals bearing the signet imprint of the writer. Various titles or purposes are given to this particular sealed scroll by various commentators. Some call it the Book of Judgment. Others call it the Book of the New Covenant. But the designation that makes by far the most sense to me, being called the title deed to the earth, is the title deed to the earth. Roman wills often bore seven wax seals on them, embossed or impressed with the signet ring of the testator of the will to prove its origination and to seal it until its death. That was reportedly true of emperors Caesar Augustus and Vespasian. The seals could only be opened by those having a claim to the will. And that seems to fit this scroll, because only the Lord Jesus has a claim to the ownership of this planet. He created it, he gave man dominion over it, and then he redeemed it after man lost it to Satan. Amen. It belongs to him.
Amen.
And he is not going to abandon it to the devil.
Amen.
So only he has a rightful claim and therefore can prevail to open these seals. So we see here that God the Father is holding in his right hand, the title deed to the earth, handing it to the only one qualified to open the seals. And so then, before title can be perfected, these seals have to be broken, which in this case means that the earth must be purified by the fire of judgment before it can be restored to its Edenic state and ruled in person by the Lord Jesus. And that is the purpose to be accomplished as the judgments and the wrath of God are poured out in the ensuing chapters of this book. So back to the text here. Then we read in verse 6, chapter 5, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. There's some disagreement on this verse. I've gone into detail before as to why I believe these seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth here are seven specific and specially appointed angels, angelic beings that stand before the throne of God and are sent out to do his bidding, including the sounding of the seven trumpets that we read about in chapters 8 to 9. As we read in chapter 8 and verse 1, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven angels which stood before God. We also see these seven spirits or angels in Zechariah chapter 4, where they are also seen as seven lamps and as the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth, described there in Zechariah 4. So reading on here in chapter 5 and verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And that is a very important verse, may I say. There are many Christians today who do not believe this verse. They do not believe in a literal reign of Christ on the earth. The Lord Jesus, you recall, said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Right. But if the Lord Jesus isn't here, why would the meek even want it? The Lord Jesus was handed the title deed to the earth because he bought and he paid for it, and he will rule on this earth for 1,000 years, just as the Bible says in Revelation 20 and elsewhere. And in that day, there will be no Jesuits or Vatican or CFR or CIA or IRS in this world, or Joe Biden. He'll be gone. Nancy Pelosi will be gone unless they repent and get saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We shall reign on the earth.
Right.
There will be righteous government in this world, but not till Jesus comes.
Right.
We're not going to change the governments of this world, people.
Amen.
It ain't going to happen. We're wasting our time to try to do that. We shall reign on the earth, as we also see in Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The Lord has not surrendered this planet to the devil. What you see now is not what you get, and this is not all there is to Christ's kingdom.
Amen.
There will be righteous rule and good government finally established on this earth. And that alone is worth praising God about and shouting about. And that's why we see this wonderful scene in heaven with this song being sung by an innumerable company of saints that have gone on before us, who are at the time seen here, absent from the body but present with the Lord. And yet even in that state, they know something that we don't know about the future glory of this planet when we shall reign on the earth with the Lord Jesus. They have that revelation. They're in heaven, and they sing the song praising God, "We shall reign on the earth." They know it's going to be a glorious day. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, memory verse for next week, "As is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." However, we will never get to that day until the only one worthy to take that scroll from the hand of him that sits upon the throne and opens those seven seals that we read about in chapter 6 and throughout the book of Revelation then, through chapter 19. And that is why John wept when it appeared that no one was found worthy to loose those seals. And so those of us who are watching for Christ appearing, who love and long for Christ appearing, we say today with John, as he said in Revelation 22:20, "Amen, even so, come Lord Jesus." And if those seals have to be opened and loosed before Jesus reigns on this earth, then please, Lord, take that scroll and loose those seals. Right? I say, bring it on. Bring it on, and we will trust him to go with us through whatever tribulation or trial or terrible persecution may come our way in the process.
Amen.
This needs to be our mindset and our outlook in days to come and days right now. Because we are not looking for, or we are not expecting, any pre-trib rapture.
Right.
The stage is set right now for these seals to finally be loosed. I explained my message 3 weeks ago why I believe the first seal in chapter 6 and verse 1 to 2 may well have already been loosed. That being the rise of that man of sin, the Antichrist, to a place of power and prominence on the world stage. For which role, I repeat, I believe Donald Trump is by far the best candidate to ever come along in world history to fulfill that role. And now, as stated, the well-planned and coordinated, ruthless, an extremely cowardly attack yesterday by devil-possessed Islamic Palestinians of the Hamas organization in Gaza against Israeli citizens, women, and children, which has very real possibilities of expanding out of control to include Iran and its friendly ally Russia, may well indicate the loosing of the second seal that we see here in Revelation 6:3-4. For those of you that haven't heard the details, yesterday morning, very early during the Jewish holiday that follows Yom Kippur, and that actually begins the Feast of Tabernacles, Hamas began the attack with a barrage of rockets that one article said eventually mounted to over 5,000 rockets hitting Israeli targets, with air raid sirens blowing as far north as Tel Aviv, after which hundreds of very heavily armed Hamas militants quickly blew through the heavily fortified Gaza blockade fence, and they rolled into at least 22 Israeli settlements including the towns and communities as far as 15 miles from the Gaza border, taking pictures and videos along the way. And if you watch some of these videos, you can see them on War News 24/7. While they indiscriminately and ruthlessly gunned down soldiers and civilians, including women and children, as Israel's military scrambled to muster a response. According to one article, Hamas caught sleeping and captured, actually, one IDF military outpost, capturing a couple of tanks and taking dozens of Israeli soldiers prisoner, along with one officer, Major General Nimrod Alani. Colonel Jonathan Steinberg in the IDF, commander of the IDF's Nahal Brigade, was also killed in one of the ongoing gun battles, which continued well into nightfall. Militants held hostages in standoffs in two towns. They occupied a police station in a third, where Israeli forces struggled until Sunday morning to finally reclaim the building. We're getting some news about all this on American mainstream media, but really I find the Greek news outlet War News 24/7 is putting out far more detail than American media. As of last night, War News 24/7 reported and provided pictures and videos in support, stating that the Israeli army had lost at least six Merkava tanks, all but one of which I think were captured intact, 17 armored personnel carriers, most of which were captured by Islamic forces after the Israelis abandoned them. At least one tank was damaged from the air when a drone dropped a grenade on it. Hamas has shot down four Apache helicopters using shoulder-launched manpads. Another War News 24/7 article reported some claims made by the Hamas leadership. This is what Hamas says. Hamas military commander Mohammed Dayev announced a state of the operation on Hamas media, calling on Palestinians everywhere to fight. He said, "This is the day of the biggest battle to end the last occupation on earth," adding that 5,000 rockets were fired. He said, "All scenarios are now possible, and we are ready for an Israeli ground invasion." Hamas deputy leader Saleh Saleh al-Arouri said, adding that Israel planned to launch an attack on the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. He also told Al Jazeera that the group had captured a large number of Israelis. He added that senior officers were among them. He said, "This was not a sabotage-type strike. We started an all-out battle," he said. "We expect the fighting to continue and the battlefront to expand," he says. "We have one primary goal, our freedom and the freedom of our holy places. We will continue to fight until we are rewarded with victory, freedom, and independence," he said. And then Ismail Haniyeh, another Hamas leader, said in remarks broadcast by Al-Aqsa TV, the Hamas TV network, he said, "We are close to achieving a great victory. Enough is enough. The cycle of uprisings and revolutions for the struggle to liberate our land and our prisoners inside Israeli prisons must be completed." Addressing the Arab countries, he said that Israel cannot offer them any protection. He stressed that armed Palestinian factions intend to expand the ongoing battle in Gaza to the West Bank and to Jerusalem. He said the battle has gone to the heart of the Zionist entity, he said. Hamas operational leader and founder of the organization's Qassam military wing, Saleh al-Arouri, said the group is holding enough Israelis captive to force Israel to release all Palestinian prisoners in his prisons. And he said another reason the group is holding dozens of Israeli prisoners is to primarily prevent the Israeli army's ground operations in Gaza territory, adding it has placed them in tunnels deep under Gaza. So as of now, after meeting here today, the fighting continues. Up to 600 Israelis were reported this morning to have been killed, and probably as many Palestinians in Gaza. As Israel's response so far has been done by airstrikes, in one strike leveling a 10-story triple tower that reportedly housed Hamas military infrastructure. Hezbollah forces in Lebanon up to the north reportedly now entered the fray by opening up with artillery fire against IDF positions in the north. As for Israel's response, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu formally declared war against the militants yesterday and is massing troops for a ground invasion of Gaza. He's also massing troops at the northern border with Lebanon. Another War News 24/7 article stated as follows. The Middle East is moving at full speed towards a generalized war between Israel and Hezbollah and Iran, after the statements of Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In his public response speech, Israel's Minister of Defense, Yoav Gallant, this is important. This is Israel's Minister of Defense, it is as follows. He said, "We will change the reality on the ground in Gaza for the next 50 years. What was before will be no more. We will try with full force. Today we saw the face of evil. Hamas launched a brutal attack on the citizens of the State of Israel, attacking men, women, and children, and the elderly indiscriminately. Hamas will realize very quickly that it made a mistake, a serious mistake, and it will pay a heavy price." He said, 15 years ago, as chief of the Southern Command, I came close to breaking the neck of or destroying Hamas. I was stopped by political echelon. This phenomenon will not continue. We will change the reality on the ground in Gaza for the next 50 years. What was before will be no more. Will it be operating at full capacity, et cetera, et cetera. And then Netanyahu also vowed to defeat Hamas, but he did stress that this war is going to take time. He said, women, children, and the elderly have been killed while people have also been captured. He said, we'll target all Hamas locations in Gaza and its leaders, et cetera, et cetera. There's quite a bit more here, but we don't need to go through all this. You get the idea. So that is the situation at present in Israel. There are also reports that even here in the States, local police forces are being put on alert, actually being asked to stand guard at churches to prevent isolated attacks by Muslim extremists. They're coming up from the southern border. And that's, may I say, the reason, by the way, that we don't post the address online where we meet together. Add to all this the fact that Hezbollah and Hamas are both armed and supplied by Iran, aided, of course, by the billions of dollars it received recently from the Biden administration. Yeah. Hezbollah and Hamas are both armed and supplied by Iran, which also now has formed a cushy alliance and military cooperation with Russia, against whom Joe Biden has relentlessly made proxy war, of course, using the people of Ukraine as pawns. Add to all this the fact that the Ukrainian military has been crushed. Russia has gone on the offensive now, as of the last few days, and begun massing troops to move them westward in Kharkiv and Donetsk, also encircling what is left of Ukraine's military, which is completely out of ammunition. Their soldiers are just surrendering because they're out of ammo. And so while Putin has also warned Poland in no uncertain terms not even to think about invading Western Ukraine from the West, as it has been contemplated. And that, while Russia just last week successfully tested its new nuclear-powered cruise missile, nuclear-powered intercontinental cruise missile. They've been developing it since 2017. They finally had a successful test last week. Another War News 24/7 article titled, "Skyfall Code in Moscow, No One Will Survive a Russia Attacked." This is about this missile. Just a brief synopsis. The nuclear disaster for every anti-ballistic missile system in NATO. Russian president revealed for the first time in a speech last week at the Valdai Club that Moscow had successfully tested the NM-370 Burevestnik, a nuclear-powered cruise missile with the NATO code name Skyfall. The main advantage of the nuclear missile is the almost infinite range it has. Nuclear power allows the missile to fly for much longer periods of time around the U.S. anti-aircraft defense. The main mission of the missile is to destroy the opponent's operational bases. So this missile has a range of 10,000 kilometers. It can elude all Western anti-missile systems, which is its main mission. Putin said, anyone at this conference last week on Thursday, the Valdai conference, he said, anyone who has brains would not use nuclear weapons against Russia, as Moscow opponents know about its nuclear arsenal, and in such a case, no one would survive in the world, said Putin. No one would survive in the world. He said, if such an attack was perceived, such a number of missiles, hundreds, would appear in the air so that not a single enemy would survive, said Putin this past week. In related development, RT News, which is Russia's news source, reported on Friday that Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko says Russia could respond with the most dreadful weapon if the U.S. follows through on its promise to give Ukraine long-range missiles, which Biden promised earlier. On Friday, Lukashenko said he believed that the Americans are pushing the Russians toward the use of the most dreadful weapon by providing Ukraine with long-range missiles. And he was referring there to ATACMS rockets, which would allow Kiev to strike deep into Russian territory, about 300 kilometers, 190 miles inside Russian territory. So Lukashenko asked the question, do you think The Russian president and military will just sit and calmly watch this. And it's the Belarusian president. According to Lukashenko, further escalation of the Ukraine conflict by the West could lead to the Russians putting a red button on the table and potentially using their nuclear weapons in a colossal response. He said, the fools again think they will sit out across the ocean, he remarked, adding that Washington was risking dragging the whole world into this tough war. I'll give you one more. It just goes on and on. I mean, another somewhat unrelated development, actually but very, very related to the topic at hand. There's an article, again, War News 24/7. U.S. oil facilities on fire. U.S. oil facilities on fire. Turkey, our ally. Turkey bombs U.S. and Kurdish targets in Syria. NATO brain dead. That's part of the title of this article. NATO is brain dead. It says, Turkey has launched sweeping drone and F-16 airstrikes against U.S.-controlled oil production facilities in northeast Syria. The movement is directed 100% against the USA with the aim of depriving them of revenue and infrastructure and leading them to leave the country. Turkey is supposed to be our NATO ally. In one day, Turkey's drones and fighter jets hit 52 targets in northeast Syria, leaving dozens of casualties and causing heavy damage. Earlier, Turkey warned it would not bow to threats after the U.S. shot down the drone in Syria. The proxy war between the Turkish-backed jihadist rebels and the U.S.-backed Kurds in Syria is turning into a direct war between Turkey and the West, confirming Macron's, President of France, statement that NATO in its current form is brain dead. Now, that's President of France talking. True story. NATO is brain dead. So Turkey bombed U.S.-controlled oil facilities there, depriving us of that income that we're getting from Syria. And so then this is the situation that the world is in at present. And as stated, I do not want to jump to any wrong conclusions or sound any false alarms today. While I'm not at all dogmatic about this, it does appear to me that we are on the brink of another world war that could possibly affect the entire globe. I do think that if this war in Israel expands to include Iran, Hezbollah from the north, it will probably also include Russia. And if so, then this second seal that John describes here may have finally been loosed yesterday, October 7th, 2023. 10-7-23, exactly 50 years and one day after the Yom Kippur War of 1973. So John says in Revelation 6, verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And went out another horse that was red, and powers given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. We need to remember that before giving us that revelation, John said, again beginning in verse 8 of chapter 5, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. One day, one fine day, there will be righteous rule and good government finally established on this earth. And that innumerable company of saints that have gone on before sang that song because they know something that we don't know about the future glory of this planet when we shall reign on this earth with the Lord Jesus. But again, we will never get to that day until the only one worthy to take that scroll, the hand of him that sits upon the heavenly throne, opens those seven seals, pouring out those judgments of wrath on this planet. And that's why John wept when it appeared no one was worthy to loose those seals, because we need to have those seals open. We've got to go through it, right? And so again, those of us who are watching, who are waiting and expecting and long for Christ appearing, amen. We say today with John, what John says in Revelation 22:20, even so, amen, even so come Lord Jesus. And if those seals have to be loosed before Jesus reigns on this earth, then Lord, take the scroll and open those seals. Bring it on, and we'll trust the Lord to go with us through whatever tribulation comes our way. This needs to be our mindset in days to come. in light of all these things, this outlook and proper perspective should also motivate us to reset our priorities, each one of us. Brother Jay touched on this first hour, saying it's easy to lose sight of heaven and put our focus on the things of this world. Many of us do that. We put our focus on the things of this world. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. The true Christian must have his focus on spiritual things, on the kingdom of heaven, not on pursuing worldly prosperity, chief prosperity in this world. We have to take care of our families, of course. But none of us should prioritize worldly things over serving the Lord, serving the church, or above giving the Lord his day every week. And also, as Jay covered Thursday, no true Christian should have his focus on the politics of this world. Christian nationalists like Charlie Kirk and his ilk, who have their heads buried in the sand because of very bad theology, are blind to the lateness of this hour, foolishly preach that our mission as Christians is to try to support Donald Trump and try to save America through the political process. It ain't going to happen. And they do that especially when, as stated, Donald Trump is by far the best candidate to ever come along to fulfill the Bible's prophecies of that man of sin, the Antichrist. I do believe. There is no political solution to the state of the world today. There's no political solution.
Right.
And America today is by far the greatest force of evil in this world.
Amen.
We will never change that through the devil-controlled politics of Washington, D.C. And only fools think that we can.
Yep.
But we can change the lives of those around us.
Amen.
In a far more eternal way.
Amen.
Far more important way, by giving them the gospel.
Yep.
Which is what we should all be focusing on.
Praise.
That should be our focus. We will not change this world. The glorious truth of the scriptures that we looked at today is that we don't need to try to change the world. Because the Lord Jesus is going to do that. He says, I think, behold, I make all things new.
Yep.
And so as Peter says in 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.